Are you having difficulty reading the newspaper? Are you experiencing severe vision loss? Or do you know someone who is? If you answer yes to any of these questions, then the American Council of the Blind can help you. We are blind and visually impaired people from every walk of life who work together to enhance our lives. For more information or our membership application, call 800-424-8666 or contact us online at www.acb.org. The American Council of the Blind, forging new frontiers for our future.
ACB Radio is brought to you by the American Council of the Blind. ACB, the people that bring you ACB Radio.
ACB Radio is proud to present Cooking Without Looking. This is the audio soundtrack from the TV shows which have been recently aired in North America by some public broadcast television stations. ACB Radio is grateful to Renee Rentmeester, producer of Cooking Without Looking, for allowing us to use this audio. If you would like information and strategies for contacting your own local public television station to request that they air upcoming seasons of Cooking Without Looking, give Renee Rentmeester a call. Her telephone number is 888-290-7005. And now, on to Cooking Without Looking, right here on ACB Radio Mainstream.
My eyes started to get blurry. I almost hit another car and I immediately pulled over. If you're losing your eyesight, lose your keys, but not your dignity.
Please call Vision World Foundation toll free at 888-290-7005. This is Cooking Without Looking, the first television show produced especially for people who are blind and visually impaired.
Welcome to Cooking Without Looking. I'm Austin Hicks.
And I'm Winona Brackett.
And I'm Hunter Hicks.
Where are Alan, Celia, and Annette?
We're right here with you, Austin. And thank you for joining us today on a very special Cooking Without Looking program. Did you know that more than 1.5 million children around the world are considered legally blind?
And 609,000 of those children live here in the United States and have to deal with some form of vision impairment.
Of these, over 95,000 of these children are unable to read newspaper print.
And here in the United States, more than 50,000 children are considered to be legally blind. That means the eyesight in their best corrected vision is less than 20 over 200, or they have a field of view of less than 20 degrees.
Today, Cooking Without Looking will help parents to know that if they have a child that is visually impaired, that they can live a normal, fulfilled life with or without sight.
Today we're going to be kidding around in the kitchen. So guys, what are we making today?
Brownies and chocolate chip cookies.
That sounds like a kid's show to me.
And I will also be speaking with Winona's parents, as well as a pediatric ophthalmologist, on how to encourage and support children who are blind or visually impaired so they can live an enriched life.
Just a note to those of you who may be joining us for the first time, Cooking Without Looking is the very first television show especially designed for people who are blind or severely visually impaired.
Just like us hosts here on the show, our special guests are also visually impaired and blind.
Okay, everyone, let's start cooking in the kitchen today.
Thank you for the beautiful sound of that applause. My name is Alan Preston, and along with me today are Hunter and Austin. And hey, are you guys ready to show us how to make some brownies?
Yes.
Fantastic. You know, since you guys are so young and blind, I'll bet our audience would like to know a little bit more about you. What are some of the favorite things you like to do?
I like to play with electronic things like radios and stuff, like open them up.
You like to work on electronics?
Yes.
Can you come over and fix my computer?
Maybe in about 2 years.
Okay. And how about you, Hunter? What kind of things do you like to do?
I like to play outside and ride my bike.
See, have you, Austin, have you got a favorite story you'd like to tell us?
My first ever electrical circuit, I crossed the wires the wrong way, and all the power was just going back to the battery, and the whole thing started smoking, and I was like walking out of the room, Mom, will you help me with this part? It's in my room smoking the whole time. It's just sitting there smoking away. I have no idea.
That sounds And Hunter, how about you? Have you got a favorite story you'd like to tell us?
No. Sometimes when I'm at a store, I think someone else is my mom.
Oh.
And I start walking away.
Oh, and you don't realize it's not your mother, and you start walking away with somebody you don't know. All right, guys. Well, if you're ready, how about if we start this little cooking process?
All right.
We're going to make some brownies today, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. And now, I'm curious, both of you guys have a little bit of eyesight, right?
Yeah, we can see.
Just a little bit. You can see, like, the very light-colored bowl against the dark background?
Yeah, yes.
Okay. So why don't you tell us now a little bit about what you're doing. And remember that our audience also can't see what's going on for the most part. So you need to describe to them how you do these things and how you make these wonderful brownies. And I can't wait to try them.
I'm good.
Well, the first thing we would do for this recipe is we'd measure the water and the oil. Now, the measuring cups we're using today, they're just regular measuring cups. Buy them in a regular store, but they have raised lines on them so we can feel quarter cup, half cup, and stuff inside the measuring cup.
So you stick your finger in there and you rub it down the side and you feel the little lines and you know which one is which.
So, like, this is a half cup here.
Great. That's a wonderful idea.
We'd start off with the half cup oil. Sana, would you go ahead and pour this in? And then the quarter cup water. And
okay, now we have oil and water in the bowl.
Yes.
No.
Now we crack 3 eggs.
This isn't where you separate 3 eggs and you put one over on each side of the table now, is it?
No.
No?
No, no.
No, we just break three eggs into there.
Yes, we don't put the shells in, obviously, but...
Okay, now you've already mixed it up. We counted 50 strokes, right?
Yes, I did.
We didn't miss. I didn't distract you or anything. Now,
No.
No?
Okay.
All right, now, you're going to pour this in the pan. How do you know you're getting it in the pan and not on the floor?
I feel with my hand to line it up.
Yeah, like feel with your hand or the pour spout to make sure it's on the edge of the bowl.
That's what I'm coming out.
Just sort of scrape it off like this.
You don't have to hold it. I got it. It's just bowl easier.
That already smells good, and they haven't even been baked yet. Now, you want to make sure
just
that
like
the pan
that.
Is plenty big enough, right? How do you know how much you've got in there?
Well, you just do. I don't know what you exactly mean by that question.
Well, how do you know that it hasn't overflowed the pan?
It's just, you know, it's a big enough pan.
Also, watch out. We're dripping. We're dripping all over the counter.
Whoops. Well, we have another tray there just to your left there, Hunter. And you can set it on that other tray.
That's it.
Okay, I think we got most all of that off. I think there's a roll of paper towels up there. And I bet you could put that spoon on the same plate as you put the...
I put it on the...
On the eggshell plate.
Yes.
Where are the paper towels, Austin?
I'm getting them.
I'm not
I need
sure.
one.
The paper towels are right
straight
up
ahead?
Here.
You got them? Okay, good.
I have the paper towels.
I need one.
Paper towels are an absolutely wonderful thing to have in the kitchen. They take care of a myriad of small problems like this. Now, you guys spilled something on the counter, I bet, too, didn't you?
Yes, and I have chocolate
bit.
Over
and
my
there's also
hand.
A little bit on the edge of the pan. We'll take care of that.
That's pretty important to take care of the stuff on the edge of the pan, isn't it?
I'll send you for
that
chocolate
burn on
hand.
There, won't it?
Yes, it will.
Okay.
So you just go like that, throw it on the paper plate. There you go.
Okay.
Now, I'm spreading the batter.
Where's the paper plate?
It's over here.
What?
This is called the grid method. You want to make sure you go from all four corners to make sure you get this nice and evenly so that when it goes in to bake, it bakes evenly.
And you just go around the whole pan like that?
Yes.
Okay, so we've got all this brownie mix in the pan now. And first of all, don't forget to grease your pan first, right?
Right.
Right, okay. And then we're going to put this in the oven
for 30 minutes, am I right?
Yes, 30 minutes at 350 degrees Fahrenheit.
Good deal. All right. Now, we've already made one of these up over here, and Hunter, I think you have it here, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. What are we going to do with these now that we've taken them out of the oven?
I am going to put the coconut on the brownies.
Coconut. Now, that sounds like a good idea. You just sprinkle it on there loosely?
Yeah, you kind of take like handfuls or pour it out of the bowl onto the brownies. Make sure it's smooth.
Okay. Now, you guys have washed your hands first, right?
Yes.
When? Today?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Very good. That's a very important rule to remember when we're cooking,
just
isn't
we're
it?
We're actually working.
Always wash your hands.
Yes. Yes.
So now
we just washed them actually
this,
like 10 minutes
this,
ago.
Oops. We want to spread it around with our fingers. Make sure.
Did
it's
you
nice
put
and
too
even.
Much on there?
No, well, I spilled it.
Oh, do we want to take some off and put it back in the bowl again?
No, it all goes
no?
on.
No? Oh, I like coconut, too. Good man, good
we'll
man.
We'll just spread that around on there.
Okay.
Now chocolate
then,
chips.
Yes, chocolate chips.
Chocolate chips on chocolate brownies.
Yeah. I know. It sounds good to me.
Again, the same concepts apply here.
You kind of dump them out. Maybe it's best if you pre-measure these before you dump them all on there.
They are pre-measured. It gave the size of the packages to get.
Oh, so you just buy the package that's the right
size. Sometimes if you have the right size.
It gives you measurements if you don't have the right size. But otherwise, it just gives you, like, buy a 10-ounce pack of this.
And Austin, you can do the milk.
Now what are we doing? Now that we have chocolate chips.
Now we pour condensed milk evenly over the top.
How do we know we're pouring it evenly?
Well, it helps if you can see the condensed milk, because it's chocolate chips, so the white on black, for if you have partial vision. If you don't have partial vision, I guess you'd have to touch it, I mean.
High contrast. Now, that's a good idea. And you guys have just enough eyesight where you can see that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
So then just sort of like that. If it would finish coming out of the can.
That might be it, Ash.
There.
We think our can is empty now?
Yeah. It's
now,
so heavy, but it's not
I'm going to put
so.
nuts on the brownie.
Now we're putting nuts on top? Wow, coconut, chocolate chips, condensed milk, and nuts. We got a whole bunch of nuts out in our studio audience today, right? That really sounds good.
Believe me, it is.
Okay, now that we've got all that stuff on there, guys, now what are we going to do with them?
You put it back in the oven for 22 minutes.
And here is our finished product. Guys, they look great. They smell great. I can't wait to try one.
I'm here today with Winona Brackett, and Winona and I are going to be cooking together this afternoon. We're going to go over a nice chocolate chip cookie recipe. Winona, but tell me a little bit about yourself, honey. What do you like to do?
Cook.
What kind of things do you like to cook?
Desserts and that kind of stuff.
That kind of stuff? That's good. So tell me, do you have any brothers?
Yes.
And their names?
Daniel and Luke.
Okay. Now, Winona, we're going to make your chocolate chip cookies. You want to tell me how you begin?
Well, first I put the butter in the bowl.
And to the butter, now that it's softened, what do you add to that? A couple of colors of sugar?
I add the white sugar.
Okay. You want to add the white sugar into the bowl then?
Yes.
Okay. And then after you add the white sugar, we add what other color sugar?
the brown sugar.
Okay. Did you find your white sugar?
Yeah, I think okay. It's this big one.
Okay. Okay, now pour it in the bowl, honey. All right? And you know you've got it in the bowl now, right?
Yes.
Okay, now here's the brown sugar. You got that? Okay, put down that container, that measuring cup. Okay, now you can take this one, alrighty, and add that in there. Okay, and now next we add what? Our eggs, correct?
Yes.
A couple of eggs. Okay, are those ready to be poured in?
Two eggs.
Okay, you find those?
Yep.
Okay, alright, you can pour those in.
And they have already been cracked.
Cool. That is good. And then we have, what, about a teaspoon of vanilla, correct? Now let's mix our batter. Let's mix our wetter ingredients right now. Then we'll add 2 1/4 cups of flour after that, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so let's move all this out of the way.
I believe this is plugged in.
Okay, I believe so. And I'm just going to move your flour over a little bit closer here. I believe that's your flour. All right, we're ready? You got your mixer in the bowl?
Yep.
Okay. Alright. You holding on to your bowl?
Yes.
Alright. Okay, now you want to add the flour to that? Okay. Add the flour. It's right here.
Okay.
Got that? Okay. Put it all around in there. Okay. Okay, you did a really good job there. Now, you want to mix it a little bit. You can say you've mixed it. And then after that, what do we add? The final touch.
The...
Uh-huh.
Chocolate chips,
right.
I think this needs to be stirred a little bit more.
Okay, just a tiny bit. And then we're going to add our chocolate chips.
See if it's creamy yet.
There you go. How do you check and see if it's creamy?
I use my finger.
Oh, okay. As long as they're clean, right?
Yeah.
And then after you mix the batter and we put the chocolate chips in there, we don't spray the pan, right? Because there's a lot of butter in your batter. Correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now we're going to pour those in. I hope the bag is open. Right?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. Go ahead and pour them in. Very good. Then here we pick it up from the bottom. We just roll around the bowl a little bit. Okay, it's what I do at home like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's my little girl.
Maybe okay. I'll take it over.
Okay, you can take it over now, honey. Okay.
Maybe it'll be soft enough.
You think?
Yeah.
That looks really good now, I understand, okay?
Okay. It's stuck to the spoon.
Oh.
I'm going to have to take my hand in.
All right, I think we're going to do that together here. Oh, my goodness. What a cookie. That's a real... Oh, that one wants to stick to me, too. Okay, right there, she's fine. Okay, now we can... You want to get a mate out of the bowl with that one?
Yes, this will get off my finger.
There we go. You got it. We got it together. Mm-hmm. Boy, these are going to be moist cookies. You still got cookie batter?
Yeah.
More. Okay.
I got to get it off my finger.
All right, you get that one off your finger, and then we're going to make believe we're baking these now, okay?
Okay.
And we're going to show our finished product, aren't we?
Yep.
We have cookies to show off that you made?
Yeah. I wish we could eat them.
Oh, that might happen now. Thank you very much, honey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Today I will be speaking with the parents of Winona. As you remember, Winona was in segment 2 making some delicious chocolate chip cookies. I have her parents here with us, Debbie and Bob Brackett. Welcome here on the show, Food for Thought.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you
for being here and taking time out of your busy schedule. We also have Dr. Garima Lau, a pediatric ophthalmologist from South Florida. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you very much.
Good. Nice to meet you. Let's start with you, Debbie and Bob. It's so fascinating to me, and I'm sure the audience, how you adopted Winona from a child from Hong Kong and brought her over here, and she was blind. How did you come about to that decision?
My wife came home one day. We have another son who's adopted, and so adoption we've already done. We'd already experienced adoption there. And she told me, said, well, I have another possibility of a little girl. I says, great. And then she says, well, there's a problem. I says, well, what's the problem? She said, well, she's blind. I go, well, that's okay. That's okay. We can do this. Let's just do this. Let's make this happen.
And how old was she when she came to your home?
She was 3.
And did she speak English at the time?
Yes, she did.
She did. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's wonderful. Okay, great. So you had some support that you needed.
Definitely.
And you mentioned a couple of things. You mentioned the NOPBC, National Organization for Parents of Blind Children, and their division of the National Federation for the Blind.
Correct.
Can
you
tell me a little bit more, tell our audience about who they are, really what they do for parents of blind children?
It's a support group where you can talk to other people that are in the same boat, that have traveled that road before and can give you guidance as to what your child needs or where you need to go for certain items.
That could be frustrating. I know you have to advocate for your child.
Definitely, yes.
I mean, I had to fight tooth and nail to get books in large print for my son through the RNBD, Reading for the Blind and Dyslexic. Mm-hmm. But I had to fight for it because the private school, and I think you were telling me, Debbie, the school didn't know about Braille. Is that true?
Well, our first Braille teacher that we were given did not know what Braille was. And so we had to fight to get a teacher in there who knew Braille and who could teach it to Winona.
So what has been most helpful in the organization that helped you with Winona? What's the best thing that's come out of it?
Getting to know other people, knowing that you're not alone, that and actually the seeing, the being immersed in other people and knowing that there is nothing my daughter cannot do as an adult. She can't drive a car, but there's so much more to life than driving a car.
Okay, now how do you get the support from this organization? Do you physically meet with these people? Because I understand it's a national organization.
Right.
Or is it basically online, telephone calls? Tell us how you get your support.
All of the above.
The
NFB has a great website, and from there you can hook up with other people in other states that are closer to you. The states that have organizations already have chapters going. You can connect up with people even in your own county or maybe within a few miles and have a good resource there.
Okay. Yeah. That sounds terrific. And real quickly, I want to give the website from the NOPBC. Do you have that, Bob?
It's nfb.org.
Okay.
It's the website.
Say it again. Sorry.
NFB.org.
Okay, terrific. Thank you both for sharing that information with us. And we'll get back with you at the end of our show. We're going to turn over now to Dr. Lau. Dr. Lau, it's great to have you with us today. Dr. Lau has a practice here in South Florida. And you want to tell us a little bit about that practice?
Well, thank you, Annette. We are Pediatric Eye Associates Incorporated. We have 3 offices in South Broward and North Dade.
When does a child come to a pediatric ophthalmologist? Because my son was tested in school and they never caught that he had a form of Stargardt's disease until I took him to an ophthalmologist. So how do you get your patients?
The school's role is beginning at around school age. Children are then screened in the schools for vision screenings, and based on the results of those, the recommendations are any child that does not read 20/20, out of either eye on the vision chart, needs to be referred further to a pediatric ophthalmologist for a comprehensive eye evaluation, which includes comprehensive medical evaluation.
Excellent. What are some signs? You know, you bring your baby home from the hospital; they're all cute and cuddly, and you just think something's not right. What kind of things can a parent look for in a small infant to say, hey, you know, my kid isn't seeing right. I'm going to take him to the ophthalmologist today.
Right. Well, one thing that we need to remember is that, or we need to know, is that, the development of the fixation and following response usually does not happen until about 3 months of life. So a lot of children before that age are not expected to be following or tracking. So what we look for when a patient comes to an ophthalmologist's office as an infant, they're obviously pre-verbal. They're not going to read us 20/20 on the vision chart. And so we use our testing modalities that we know to see whether we're getting any vision response at all. And starting at around 3 months of age, we should be able to see a fixation response. Now, that fixation response usually starts with the following of human face. So the first thing a baby does is it starts to follow a mother's face. And
or a father's. Depending who's taking care of the baby, right?
the baby will usually follow a parent's face. Uh-huh. And in the absence of that, other things that we can do to check is we can do a very basic, we use what we call the ocular kinetic reflex response, which is the response of the ocular vestibular pathway to see whether there is a response. And what that, if that shows a response in the office, then we can tell that the child is developing at least 2400 vision.
So then, we definitely want to encourage parents out there to take their child to ophthalmologists if they have any reluctance to how the child is doing with their vision. And in a nutshell, in the Reader's Digest version, if a parent finds out, you know, that their child is blind, you know, what can you say to them? What advice would you give a parent of a blind child?
You know, I think the most frustrating aspect for a parent at this age is not knowing whether this child is going to develop any vision. And I think that you want to be careful when you start to label a child as being blind too early on, because we do see, you know, because we have to remember that the definition of blindness actually means no light perception. And many of the children we are dealing with are not blind, they are visually impaired. So they have varying degrees of low vision.
I just want to thank everybody here, our guests today, and I want to thank you all out there for joining us on Cooking Without Looking. And again, we say, keep cooking, being safe in the kitchen. Bye for now.
For recipes and information from today's show, please call Vision World Foundation toll-free at 888-290-7005. Cooking Without Looking. Creator, executive producer, Renee Rentmeester. Vision World Foundation founder, Renee Rentmeester. Producer, Sylvia Troy. Associate producer, Celia Chacon. Hosts, Celia Chacon, Alan Preston, Annette Watkins.
You've been listening to Cooking Without Looking on ACB Radio Mainstream. Join us again next week, same time, same place, for more interesting recipes and meet some more interesting folks who don't need to look while they cook. ACB Radio is grateful to Renee Rentmeester, producer of Cooking Without Looking, for allowing us to use this audio. If you would like information and strategies for contacting your own local public television station to request that they air upcoming seasons of Cooking Without Looking, give Renee Rentmeester a call. Her telephone number is 888-290-7005.